This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis, and we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And today happens to be the first day of the deer firearm season here in Maryland statewide. And we are blessed to have Brian Eiler with us here, who is the deer program manager,
project leader,
program manager.
Take your pick.
The head guy in charge of deer in Maryland. Biologist by background,
yes.
Bureaucrat by trade.
Yes.
And we have with us on the line Phil Norman, who has been with us the last several deer seasons and has always offered up a prayer for the deer hunters as they go forth this morning. So I'm going to step out of the way here for just a couple of seconds, and I'm going to ask Phil if he would offer the prayer for our deer hunters, and then we'll have a conversation after that. Phil?
All right. Thank you, Alan. And Father in heaven, we come before you yet again with a firearm season before us, and we have hopes and big plans, and we have family and friends, and we have a natural resource here that we are intensely interested about, and we ask you, Lord, creator of all of that, to keep us safe as we go forth for hunting this year. We pray for success, and we especially pray that as we go forth in your creation, we would reflect on its beauty, on its provision for us, and that we would have a thankful heart. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. So, Phil, you are you work primarily in Howard County, and tell us how the deer management program has been going out there in general.
Well, unofficially, it's going well. I think the county has seen some real progress. Brian can tell you, of course, the deer harvest numbers are down in Howard County, a little bit off of the peak we had a few years back.
Sure.
And so that indicates that things are going in the direction we really want them to, because we were, I think, not just in Howard, but throughout central Maryland,
sure,
at least seriously overstocked with deer. So we're seeing progress there. We still see a lot of activity, a lot of interest, and
the community. The community is pretty well adapted to the managed hunting program there now. Not like it was in the beginning when the world was ending.
I think so. We've done a couple of surveys over the years, and also there have been people call in. Local government is blessed with being the place where people really feel like they can maybe, voice their opinions and make a difference. And you do hear a lot of people saying that things must be done. We
sure
have to manage the resource.
Yep.
We see that at the state. Yeah.
State level as well.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, very good. Phil, as always, we appreciate you, helping us out here this morning and asking the Creator to bless all the hunters out there. And, of course, they're going forth now. They're racing up and down the highways. And, they've got the ATVs in the back of the truck or on the trailer. They've got their firearms and their camo and their orange. And, busying about. The camps are ready. They're going to be, we just asked that, you know, everybody just kind of take a second and think about safety for a minute or two. And you brought that all home, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm glad to.
Yes, sir.
Let's have a good season.
You too, buddy. Right. You need to leave us? I know you're working.
Yeah, I'm afraid I have to.
All right.
But I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks again.
See you, Phil.
Yeah.
See you, Phil.
See you, Brad.
Bye-bye. Well, that brings us to Brian Eiler. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Weren't we just here doing this?
Yeah, a little while ago. Yeah, not too long ago. And probably do it next month, too. I'm getting married on the 16th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we'll be pre-recording the show on the 16th.
I got you.
Whether it's you or waterfowl guys or, you know, who knows.
But,
you know, look forward to that, too. So here we are, first day of deer season. How are the numbers looking? How's our harvest up to now, Brian?
Well, up till now when we recorded, we've had a really good season, a strong season. We always look at the numbers for the early archery and the early muzzleloader, the October muzzleloader season, and we were at about 22,200, somewhere right around there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were up over 10%. Now, we were down a little bit last year, so
yeah, it was a bad
so some of that, you know, some of that's just making up that ground,
but, right?
But a real strong buck harvest. So, and normally that, you know, if that buck harvest is a pretty good indicator of how many deer are out there on the ground. So when you see that buck harvest go up, that's a pretty good indicator that we probably carried over quite a few deer, and we still have healthy deer numbers.
Sure. Any numbers on the youth hunt yet?
I just looked at that, actually. So that just ended, and it looks like we are going to be very, very close to where we were last year, somewhere around 2,500, somewhere in that number. Yeah. So,
yeah, good.
So real close. So, yeah, it was a nice weekend for the kids.
Oh,
it was a little chilly Saturday morning. But,
you think?
But I think I had 25 or 26 at my place. But,
right.
So it was a little chilly, but it was a nice weekend. And, yeah, they had a good kill. So.
We had 2 weeks ago, we had some of the kids call in from the Montgomery County managed hunt. There were 22 kids on that hunt.
Oh, really? Great.
They all had mentors and parents with them in the stand.
Yep.
And then, you know, there was always somebody there, and then some of the other folks would do some drives in the afternoon and so forth. The goal is to get everybody a buck.
Yeah.
Boys and girls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a couple of kids tagged out with their two does and their, you know, and their buck and couple really nice bucks. So,
good.
You know, the guys do a wonderful job out there. And
that's good.
You know, we support them here as much as we can, and we have put a lot of the pictures on Maryland Hunting Coalition website and also on the Bucks, Bears, and Stags website. So
we really have some nice bucks in that neck of the woods. That Baltimore-Washington corridor, there's some real nice deer.
I'll show you one here in a second when I'll get my phone out and you can take a look at this one. This one is from PG County last night.
Wow, look at that one.
Yeah.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, Felipe Ordano, PG County. Looks like about 192-inch, rough-scored, 10-point typical buck.
Very nice.
Which is potential state record right there.
Yeah, very nice.
Yep. So
PG County, huh?
PG County.
Yeah.
Yep, with a compound bow. So.
Yeah.
Yep, good stuff. Deal. Good
Congratulations
stuff.
Congratulations to him.
Now, when I say last night, this is Wednesday.
Right.
What is today?
We're in the rut.
We're in the middle of the rut. Yeah,
that's
so this is the Wednesday.
Right.
Before the
November 15th.
It is the 15th. So he took that on the
14th.
Yeah, exactly. So we are in the rut.
Peak of the rut.
Tell us about that a little bit. What that means and where the bulk of the deer are bred and how that all works.
Yeah. So deer breed one time a year. I think most of us probably know that. So, and they all had dropped their fawns late May, early June, about a 220-day gestation period. So, so the ball, looking at fetal data, I'll give a shout-out to the state chapter of the Quality Deer Management Association. Every year they actually collect data from some of the managed hunts around the state looking at fetuses, and they can measure them and determine when they were bred and conceived. And, so long story short, 90% of our deer breed the first 2 to 3 weeks of November.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you read all this stuff about moon phase and all this kind of stuff, but
can't kill them unless you're in the woods.
The data doesn't really support that, that the moon really influences breeding.
I heard that yesterday.
Yeah.
I was talking to a potential sponsor, and he's convinced it's a moon phase.
Yeah.
Man, we're out of that full moon. Now we're going into the new moon, yeah. And that's really going to kick them off. I'm thinking they're breeding late this year, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know? But I look at it this way. You got to be out there.
Yeah.
Because you and I don't know when that buck's going to walk by or that doe's going to come in estrus.
That's right.
So,
yeah, late October, early November.
Robin. Yeah.
I mean, most of the deer breed in early November, but that doesn't mean that that's not necessarily the best hunting. You know, chasing is when you have your best opportunity,
right.
And that can even start in late October. So,
sure.
And, these deer that don't breed, the female that don't breed the first time, they come back into estrus 28 days later. So you always hear about a second rut. Well, that's what that is.
Right.
They come
and then
back
third rut.
Third rut
is,
right.
I like to say, is that those unfortunate does that weren't bred the last two times.
Right.
And at that point, you have fawns that are 6 months old
that are now
able to breed.
Right. So you'll see some of those fawns breed as well.
Sure. So, I mean, the cycle for the females continues just like it does in person.
Right.
Don't want to get graphic, but
same thing.
Yeah, same thing. And so it continues on throughout the season until that deer is bred. So it's all good.
Yeah.
22,200 high buck harvest.
Very good buck harvest, really strong buck harvest, especially during early muzzleloader season, which I tell you, kind of surprised me this year that we have a really healthy deer population, so it shouldn't surprise me, but we have a lot of acorns this year.
And normally, you said it last time.
Yeah, normally that slows down our harvest because the deer are scattered and, in harder pattern, but boy, it didn't slow down the harvest this year.
Yeah. You think there were more people out?
Effort probably played into it, yeah. I mean, sure we probably had more hunters in the woods, and the weather was nice. I mean, it was a little warm for some of it, but the first week of archery was beautiful. It was nice and cool, and then it warmed up after the first week of archery a little bit. But,
right.
But no, it was a good early season.
Sure. So. Gotcha. Well, very good. I mean, we're going to talk more about all of this, but we are going to coming up on a break here, so it's time for me to tell you folks about... That would be Chesapeake Outdoors. The first choice for on Maryland Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Now, we're talking about the deer breeding season. We're talking about the first day of firearm season. And, of course, they've got all the firearms and ammunition and all the deer accessories and scents and everything you need for that. A lot of guys like to hunt that with a bow, too. So they've got the Barnett and the Mission and the 10-point and the Carbon and Excalibur crossbows and the brand-new Raven model, which you need to take a look at that. Of course, if you're into the compounds, it's the Matthew Solo Cam. All the safety orange hats and vests and that type of thing, plenty of gloves, plenty of boots, camo by Bandit and Under Armour. And, of course, we're in the waterfowl, too, so we got to keep in mind the waterfowl calls, the decoys, the steel shot, and all that. And, of course, that great selection of muzzleloaders and, in particular, Yeti coolers. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Route 50 East. That's exit 39B. And that is on Ken Island. 39B is Dominion Road. So stop by when you're on your way by. You'll be glad you did. It's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500. Now, let me tell you about a new sponsor, and that is JB Farms Deer Processing. JB Farms is your Carroll County deer processor, located at 3523 Harney Road, through the center of Tawnytown, and you make a right on Harney Road, and you'll run right into JB Farms, and they'll skin and custom cut, wrap, and freeze your deer with tasty venison specialties that include deer bologna, deer sausage, deer hot dogs. That phone number is 410-756-5656. JB Farms can smoke your venison hams and make chipped venison, which I love, deer jerky, and much more. And JB Farms is an FHFH participating deer processor. That number again, 410-756-5656. JB Farms processes all wild game. That means bears and hogs and big game, exotics, and they even process your waterfowl. Yep, they do waterfowl and turkeys too. Best of all, JB Farms has a 24-hour drop-off for your deer. 24-hour drop-off for your deer at JB Farms, Harney Road, Tawnytown, JB Farms Deer Processing. Call 410-756-5656. You'll be glad you did, and we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, we're back with Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project leader here in Maryland for the...
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Crab and seafood lovers, are you ready for some good times? The Spurry family has been in the seafood business on the Eastern Shore for over 35 years, specializing in local Maryland crabs and oysters, and they own the famous Chesapeake Landing Restaurant in St. Michael's. They're now bringing the best of the Eastern Shore across the bridge to Baltimore. Good Times Crab House, located at 8001 Liberty Road, just 1 minute off Beltway Exit 18, headed west, is now open to serve you the freshest Maryland crabs, local oysters, fresh-picked crab meat, Gulf shrimp, a variety of fresh fish, and Alaskan snow crab legs. Good Times Crab House and Crab Feast Catering specializes in on-site crab feast catering for your large events. Look for Good Times on Facebook for daily specials and weekend deals. Call 443-657-7187. Good Times and good crabs and seafood. It's Good Times Crab House. Call 443-657-7187.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Listen Sundays at 9 a.m. for Radio Mass of Baltimore, the live liturgy of the Sunday Mass from St. Ignatius Church in downtown Baltimore, and again at 6 p.m. for a rebroadcast. Following the Mass, stay tuned for a message from the Archdiocese of Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back with Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project leader here in Maryland for the entire deer herd, whitetails and sika deer, right?
Both, yep.
Yeah, both. Got it.
So good job.
Yeah, it sounds like a great job. Your co-worker...
George
Timko was here a couple of weeks ago talking about EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or some people call it blue tongue, which is not exactly what it is,
but it's close
enough. But it's an infectious disease. Deer gets bitten by a gnat or a no-see-um. Little tiny bug, mostly around water. And those little buggers are bloodsuckers, just like mosquitoes. They inject a virus into the deer's bloodstream. Deer gets fever. most don't recover.
Most don't recover. I don't actually know what the percentage is that survive it. Well, it changes from year to year,
right.
Obviously. But,
right. But there's several different strains of it.
Different strains, yep. There's, EHD 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
How many have we identified here?
We've identified two or three here in Maryland.
We identified a 6.
This year we had a 6 and a 2,
right.
Or multiple twos,
right.
And 1-6, I think. But, yeah, so a couple of different strains out there floating around this year.
Epicenter was Talbot,
Caroline, and North Dorchester.
Dorchester border,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and if you look, we know we just talked about the strong harvest in the early part of the season, but if you look at, if you break that down by harvest management units, you can pick out where we had HD because the harvests are down in those units. So
right. That little three-digit number that you have.
Yeah, when you tell us where you killed the deer or turkey. But so if you look at those, that kill by unit, boy, over there in Talbot and in Caroline and North Dorchester, kill was down quite a bit, so it had its effect. Now they'll bounce right back.
Right.
It'll take a couple of years, but
personal opinion, and you don't have to comment on this, the DMP program in North Dorchester, even a little bit further in the middle of county, in my personal opinion, has done more detriment to the whitetail deer population than EHD. Like I said, you don't have to comment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
All right.
HD probably took 25 to 50% of the deer off the landscape in some
25 to 50%.
In some areas, in hot spot areas, it probably took 25 to 50% of the deer off the landscape. I don't think we're doing that with DMPs. So
depends on who you talk.
We can chat.
Depends on who you talk to.
It does. Yeah.
But anyway, that being said, it was a hard hit area. And what about the rest of the state? Southern Maryland.
We had a couple.
Upper Shore.
We had a couple. George probably relayed this. We had a couple other confirmed, like Cecil. I think we may have had some suspects. We definitely had some suspects in the Western Shore.
Right.
Baltimore. I think a couple out of Southern Maryland.
Frederick,
but,
I heard.
But yeah, yeah, Frederick. But nothing significant like over in more
in
Eastern
area.
Shore. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot of deer. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, a lot of deer. So, but they'll bounce back.
They always seem to do so. That's what the breeding season's all about.
That's
one
right.
buck plus one doe equals four deer.
Right, four deer.
Unless somebody takes out one.
Right.
So very good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about safety a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, what's required is so much orange. How much?
Yep. So either a hat or 250 square inches.
Right.
And if you're in, don't forget, if you're on a ground blind, which they get more and more popular every year, if you're in a ground blind, you got to display that same amount outside the blind.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere around the blind. Because it's amazing how well those suckers can blend in, those blinds. You don't think they do, but
they
if
do.
It's right at daybreak, they're hard to see. So,
sure.
And wear that orange. I mean, private land, public land, whatever.
It's anybody that goes out without an orange hat in deer
is
fire
brave.
That's not the word I was thinking of.
I'll just stick with brave.
You go ahead with brave. Yeah, you go right ahead
I'll
with brave.
I'll stick with brave.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just not worth it. I mean, and
I've had, I mean, you've got hair in your head. You're moving it around.
Right.
Somebody puts that in the scope. You better have an orange hat on.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
We've probably all had deer that have, or at least I know I have. I'll be there lit up like a Christmas tree, and I'll have a deer that comes right up.
Oh, sure.
So
it doesn't bother you.
No.
Yeah.
So
I actually, when I lived back in Pennsylvania, I wore a full jacket, a full blaze orange jacket, and we had four deer out in the field. And I said, I'm going to test this. I said to myself, I'm testing this. Stood up, walked towards the deer when their heads were down. Nobody paid attention. I stopped, they put their heads up, looked at me, went right back to feed, and I walked closer, and I walked closer. And I'm not going to say I could touch them on the ear,
right.
But I got close enough. I mean, I cut the distance by half from my stand to the deer. And, I was standing upright. I looked like a man.
Right.
Okay. But the blaze orange jacket didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
So that was my confirmation that they see it as a gray or whatever.
Yeah.
Deer don't see color like birds do, like turkeys and waterfowl do.
Yeah.
But
it's just not worth it. I mean, their nose is their number one defense mechanism.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you're gonna do anything, wear your orange, but really pay attention to the wind and make sure you got multiple stands where you can sit in the right one for the wind conditions.
Yeah.
That's
a good key. I like to go back to that. I like to go back. I always say that I say, you know, you're putting all that cover scent and all that, you know, zero scent and, you know, kill your scent. And I believe in that. I mean, I believe in spraying your boots and spraying your hat and, you know, kind of killing as much of your odor as possible. But I said, how did the Native Americans do it?
Yeah.
They didn't particularly shower in anything that was, you know, scent free or use any, you know, how did they do it?
Just got to work that wind.
Work the wind. You got to play the wind. Yes, exactly right.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
So that's what it's all about.
Indeed.
I don't know. I mean, in my mind, when you can have all this scent masking stuff.
Sure.
But if you're sitting there breathing,
your scent's going out.
That's your, to me, that's the biggest producer of scent that there is. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't use
any
of that stuff.
You know, you could always spend a couple $100 and put your clothes in one of those ozone free bags.
Yeah.
You spend another $400 and get one of those ozone things that throws the ozone shield out over you.
And maybe it does work.
Maybe it works.
I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't.
I don't know, but
know?
I think I'll just stick with playing the
wind.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And, make sure if you're going to put some type of deer scent, cover scent, ester scent out, that you do it in a fashion that it confuses the deer's nose or attracts them from wherever the wind's blowing to.
Right.
You know, because they're going to come from crosswind, they're going to come from downwind. They're not getting, in the rut, though, they can come up from anywhere.
Anytime.
And they can ignore your scent
and
just like anything else.
Yeah. And I will throw this out there talking about scents. So, you know, we have chronic wasting disease in Maryland. And, you know, they've shown that the prions that cause CWD are in urine, deer urine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on a, you know, there's been several states that have actually prohibited natural urine, Vermont, Virginia, one of the Canadian provinces, where, you know, they've actually, you can use synthetic urine, but you can't use natural urine. But just if you're out there, using urine, you know, deer urine, use it in a way that you can take it back out with you. Put it on a cotton ball, hang it from a bush or whatever, and take it back out with you. Because
there are a number of companies here in Maryland that get, you know, actual deer urine from deer farms from wherever. And rebottle it. And it's, you know, it's the pure stuff, or they cut it a little bit, but you know, it's the real deal.
Yeah, so if you're going to use
it. And I mean, it works great.
Yeah, I'm not, yeah, it's just, if you're going to use it, try, you know, use it in a fashion that minimizes that chance. You know, if any of that urine would have, like you said, if it came from, you know, an infected herd somewhere with CWD, and we're on the Eastern Shore where we really have a good chance of not seeing CWD for a long time, I would hate to see it introduced through
a scent product.
Right, through a scent product. So, you know, put it on a cotton ball, hang it up, take it back out with you, throw it away, whatever. But just try to eliminate that direct contact between a deer and what you're putting out there.
Got it. Yep. Makes sense. Yeah. Yep. Now, some of these synthetic scents are pretty fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
There's a scent out there that is, and I don't know how authentic it is, but it's a scent that's in like a little deodorant thing. It's a solid, and you rub it on the tree, and, you know, there's one that smells like a herded deer, and there's one I'm not buying. I mean, I'm nothing against anybody that wants to, but I'm not paying $40 for a roll-on deodorant, you know.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
I'll pay $10 for a bottle or whatever, but not that.
Yeah.
But I have a buddy who killed the best 10 point of his life, a beautiful buck, and, you know, it was... He rubbed the stuff on, smelled like a deer herd on a couple of trees, and then the scent in between, and the deer walked right up to 8 yards and stuck its nose right on it.
Yeah.
It happens.
A curiosity. I think, there's been studies done, and it's probably more of a curiosity thing. University of Georgia has a really active deer research program.
Right.
And
this is all public information.
And it's all public information, yeah. Right. They did a study one time where they looked at the effects of different scent attractants.
Right.
And what they found was that, you know, like if you go to one of the auto parts stores or maybe even Walmart, I don't know, but you can buy in a can, it's called new car scent. You can spray it in your car and it smells like new car. I'm not lying to you, Alan.
Okay.
They showed that was just as effective. Maybe it was more effective
really
at attracting
That's pretty funny.
Than anything else they tested. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is it's a curiosity.
Definitely curiosity.
It's a curiosity thing.
Oh.
So it's interesting.
First time I ever used a curiosity scent, I was in Cecil County, and it was just getting daylight, and there were no deer, but they were coming back from feeding and, you know, getting ready to go into the bedding area and the laurel and so forth. So I had a bottle of this magic deer attractant, whatever it was, and I sprayed it in the air. And, of course, it reminded me of vanilla scent, which is
right.
The ballpark what most of it is anyway.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there, and here comes a doe. And she's, like, on a string. And she gets right in front of my stand about, you know, 10 yards from where I sprayed this stuff. And her nose is up in the air, and she's sniffing, and lip rolls up.
Yep.
And
she,
you know, I'm like,
yeah,
that worked.
Yeah.
So why not go to the bottle? Why not go and get some vanilla at the grocery store?
Right. Yep.
You know, put it in a spray bottle and use that.
Right. Right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these scents have a curiosity scent that smells like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But use it safe. That's the thing. You know, if you're going to use it, use it wisely. And
sure. Sure.
But play that wind.
Absolutely.
You can have the best cover scent in the world, but if you don't have the right wind.
You don't have the right wind, and you happen to exhale while you're in the stand,
you
could blow something right out.
Yep. Yep,
I know it. Sure. I know it. I've used the silver-infused clothing and all that stuff, and some of it works, some of it doesn't.
Yep.
I mean, look, I had a particular brand that was sponsored the show a while back, and it was a silver-infused stuff, and I had eaten Mexican food the night before, and it worked. It actually worked. Just saying.
Field tested.
It was field tested and approved by me, and that's all it needed. So all the deer that I saw came in. Anyway, hey, it's time for me to tell you folks about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Now, if you get out there and you looked out at that deer rifle of yours and you go, you know what? It's time to replace this thing. I'm going to give you a great value. It's the AB3 Hunter. It comes in wood or synthetic stocks, and it comes with a factory-installed Nikon Buckmaster 4-12 power BDC rifle scope in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington Mag, 300 Win Mag, all the popular colors. But the combo gun from Browning, the AB3, is a great value for firearms hunters, rifle hunters. Now, on the pump side, the BPS pump shotgun comes in 12 and 20 gauge rifle barrel deer models. It features bottom ejection, DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo, and it comes, well, the waterfowl model comes with three choke tubes in all gauges, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10 gauge for waterfowl. So if you like the pump action, take a look at the BPS at Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located, again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They've been there 60 years. Their phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. Give Clyde's Sports Shop a try, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Well, some great looking weather the next few days, starting with the overnight hours tonight. Expect clear skies, low 34. Now as you wake it up to start the weekend, sunshine early on, maybe some more clouds later in the day, slight chance for rain shower, 58. But Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, a lot of sunshine back heading our way. Sunday, sunny and 48. Monday, sunshine, expect highs mid-50s. And then by Tuesday, more sunshine, highs in the upper 50s. I'm Craig Ross from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but has some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. I don't go through the fast food drive-thru when I'm on Route 50 heading to the deer stand or the duck blind. I'm patient, but my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of Rise Up coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery. And from 11 to 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs and strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery is located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Think big donut or call 410-228-9111. Visit their website or like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, and be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see me and Robin there.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back with Brian Eiler, the Deer Project Leader for Maryland Wildlife and Heritage Service, Department of Natural Resources, and we're talking deer hunting. We talked a little bit about orange in last segment, but let's talk a tiny bit about
tree stands.
Tree stand safety.
Yeah, everybody uses a tree stand now, or a lot of deer hunters use a tree stand.
My first tree stand was a 2x4 nailed to the side of an oak tree.
I think mine was, too.
Yeah. And I've been in homemade ones. Yeah. I've been in
hang-ons,
climbers.
You name it.
But you know what? The problem is they're all higher than we are off the ground, and the law of gravity is still in effect.
That's right, gravity.
Gravity. And it's not the fall that hurts you. It's that sudden stop right at the end.
Right. So, and it's still our number one accident, source of injury, source of fatalities, unfortunately, is falling from tree stands. So wear your harness, and not just while you're in the stand.
Not just your harness, lock into the tree.
Exactly.
They make a couple of things. They make straps that go around the tree with a D-ring on them. They come with your harness, usually. They go around the tree. They lock you in. You clip your tether into the D-ring.
Yep.
And you can move all around.
Yep.
That's one. There's, more recently, I'm seeing heavy rope with a loop in one end. On the other side, on the other end, is a prussic knot.
Right, prussic, yep.
A prussic. Yep. And you put the loop, you put the prussic through the loop, tie up on the tree, you slide the prussic up, you clip into that.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's also very effective.
Right.
I've got them both, and you need to use it.
Yeah, you do. It's not just while you're in that stand. A lot of the falls happen while you're either getting in or coming out, and you really should be locked in. Both of those times.
Exactly. Attach your prussic knot.
Right.
Attach the line to the tree, to the ground.
Right. Yep.
Put your prussic on it. And that prussic knot that we talk about is basically a knot that if you put pressure on it, will stop.
Right. It slides easy one direction.
One direction, going the other.
Right.
Yeah,
so basically it'll slide. If you're going up the tree, it'll slide very easily going up. But if you fall, it won't slide the other direction.
You're like a camo Peter Pan there for a minute or two until you grab the step or something and get back in.
But right.
We used to use a nylon belt attached to a D-ring on a rope. The rope had a clip on the end of the tree. You clip that in and, used that for years. And then, of course, people started getting cut in half and,
circulation issues.
Your legs go.
Have a harness. A lot of these harnesses are built into vests now. It's pretty simple.
Very simple.
It's a pretty simple system to use, and it's just not worth. Just like orange, it's just you know, you can change your life forever.
Exactly.
You
know, and there are people who are disabled and broken pelvises and weeks in the hospital and, you know, another 3 months in rehab and all that. I know several
doctors' bills and, you know, and it's just,
not worth it at all.
A little bit of preparation and, you know, I mean.
I actually have one of the, I think it's a spider system or something in the Scent Shield brand or something. It's this harness is built into the bib overalls.
Right.
Love it. Yep. Love it. You just put the bibs on. Your harness is already built in there. Your tether's there. Just put your strap on the tree, clip in, and boom, you're done.
Good to go.
So, I mean, I highly recommend the harness. And anybody I hunt with, Laura, Jacob, anybody is required to have the harness. Or guess what? They're hunting from the ground.
They're hunting on the ground. That's a good rule to have.
Yeah, you're hunting on the ground.
Yeah, that's a good rule to have.
But,
and if you're not comfortable in a stand, like, you know, get a ground blind. I mean, they're more popular than ever. So, and hunt out of a ground blind.
Sure.
So, nothing wrong with that.
Now, we hunt out of a, I hunt out of a box in Cecil County. It's a 4x4, 4x5, but whatever it is. Four sides on it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not falling out the door. But, you know, you got to be cautious going up the ladder.
Yes, right.
You know, so, and it's not that high off the ground. But once you're in, you know, I'm sitting there in my office chair like one of these swivel chairs we're in right now, which, you know, you can take a nap in that and not worry about falling out or you hit your head on the side of the stand.
Yeah, you don't have quite as far to fall. So
it's
a good way to do it.
No. I was in a stand. I was in a stand, beautiful stand, a shooting house, actually, this spring or this fall. And I had a buck at 12 yards, a stag. And he certainly met the criteria for branched antler, but it was that much. It was about a 2-inch antler with about a 1/2-inch brow tine, and he's at 12 yards, and he was a mature stag, and he's not going to get much better, if at all.
Well, you might be surprised.
Really? I hope so. I hope you're right. I mean, I let him walk last year, let him walk this year, you know, but there he was.
Some of them are late bloomers.
Late bloomers for sick deer. We'll talk about, we're going to talk extensively about sick deer here, starting this hour and going into the next.
Okay.
But he was at 12 yards broadside standing there, and I let him walk, and he's still there with a hind on the feeder, and the feeder's at 20, you know. So I decided, okay, we're going to let these go. I'm going to back out of here real quiet, and pulled my range finder off the side of the little sill there on the window. Yeah, and it hit the deck. They didn't know where the noise came from, but you know what?
They
reacted.
Yeah,
it was flight or fight, and they decided to flight was best for them. Yeah.
Then they came back at midnight.
They came back at midnight to dress the corn. So speaking of corn,
the golden nugget.
Golden nugget. Yeah. It's not the best thing to feed a deer for all year round, is it?
No, it's not. You know, that's, you could argue it's not a good thing to feed any time.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, you know, baiting and feeding is really popular, and it can be useful, particularly in urban and suburban areas, you know, if you have a limited hunting area and you're trying to pull deer in.
Sure.
And it's used, you know, widespread across the state, except for public lands. We don't allow baiting on public lands. I always encourage hunters to try to, before you start using bait or always use bait, you know, to learn the area you're hunting.
Sure.
You know, if you have natural.
Do a little woodsmanship.
If you have a natural, and if you have a natural forage, you know, if you have oaks.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of times during the year that a deer will walk right by a corn pile to get to an oak tree.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what we see with corn, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners, if they have trail cameras and using trail cameras, they know this as well, that a lot of these deer, especially your bigger deer, aren't there during legal shooting hours.
Right. They're at night.
They're nocturnal.
Yeah,
so, and there's concerns with baiting.
Except during the rut.
Yeah, except during a rut. You never know during a rut.
That's right.
You never know during the rut.
Right. But if you do a little woodsmanship, okay,
You learn your trails. You learn your cross trails. You learn your buck trails from your doe trails, which is important. You know your scrape line. You know your rub line.
Yeah.
You know your pinch points. You know your bottlenecks. You know your funnels.
And you know what's going on adjacent properties.
And you know what, you spend a little time in a tree stand.
Right. And on Google Maps, so kinds of resources out there today, to be able to figure a lot.
They don't put the corn piles on Google Maps, though.
No, they don't. You're right.
So, I mean, unless they take a picture from the air.
They might show up, some of them.
Some of them might, some of the ones I've seen.
Yeah, they might.
Yep.
We're fortunate, at least, we're not like you see pictures from Michigan where it's literally dump truck loads of whatever, whether it's sweet potatoes or corn or whatever. So
sweet potatoes are actually excellent for sika deer.
They're
wonderful for sika deer.
You can learn a lot, by just – by studying the area you're hunting and know what's going on around.
Now for sika deer, standard operating procedure, load your feeders up, turn the feeders on, wait for the deer to come in.
Yeah.
And I've hunted that way.
Yeah, I have too.
But they eat everything in the marsh anyway. And to me, it's like when that feeder goes off, the dinner bell's rung, but they're not eating a ton of corn. When there's 8 deer on the feeder and a little bit of corn that comes out of the feeder, that doesn't mean they're all eating, their fill. I think it's like dessert.
Yeah, yeah.
If
you have your feeders like that. I've seen a lot of feeders where they can eat the thing dry.
Oh, yeah.
And they will.
Oh, yeah, the all-you-can-eat feeder. Yeah, it's far better to change that up rather than to have an all-you-can-eat. Because all-you-can-eat, they can come in any time. Like you said, they come in at midnight, whereas you get them on a program, those feeders don't blow out a lot of corn, a couple cups of corn.
Right.
And you got a dozen deer there eating them or 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's less harmful than letting a pile out there or an all-you-can-eat feeder that, brings them in any time.
Right. So. But, and there's disease issues with if you're attracting deer, CWD spreads deer to deer through saliva.
That's one. Yep. So, acidosis?
And acidosis,
that's later. I mean, usually winter into spring, right?
Yep. So, and
when the browse, the deer system actually changes, correct?
Yeah. Well, they're ruminants, like a cow, so they have to have that whole process going.
Right. But, browse, they tend to focus more on browse in wintertime than the ag crops and mass crops.
Well, a lot of that's because that's the only thing available at that time. Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll rely more on browse during the winter.
Right. Which is buds and tips of trees and shrubs
and all that stuff. They're not really, they're not great. You might think of deer as being grazers, but they're not grazers.
They don't eat grass.
They don't eat grass. No, they're what we call browsers.
Right. Now they'll eat the weed fobs in between forbs in between the grass.
Right.
And you think they're eating grass.
Yeah,
but not.
It's actually forbs.
Yeah.
So. And then, like you said, acidosis, they get on a real high corn diet and interrupts that whole rumination process.
And you can actually starve to death with a belly full of corn.
Kill them, yeah.
Yep. And they used to say the same thing about feeding them hay in the wintertime. You can do that, too.
We all think we're doing good feeding wildlife, especially during the winter, to help wildlife through. But, these species have been here a lot longer than we have, and they survived all these years without our help.
Yeah, so. I mean, people like to feed the birds in the winter because they don't want them to starve.
Yeah.
But those seeds that they eat, they don't eat in the wintertime because that's not when the seeds are in the plants.
Exactly.
And, I get it. I understand. Yeah. I feed the birds and suet and all that stuff.
Yeah, but, they'd be perfectly fine without our intervention.
If you've ever been in a deer stand and spent any time there, and certain times of the day when the birds come in, you can't, and Phil talked about the creator early on.
Uh-huh.
If a 2-ounce chickadee can survive 20 degrees below zero, why do we have to feed them anything?
Right. So, sometimes we're doing more harm than good.
Perhaps.
You see
the wrens, they're down low on the ground. You see the creepers up and down the trees and the nuthatches. And one of my favorite callers years ago used to say, I like to watch the breast mice.
The breast mice.
Because you can't say that other thing on the radio.
So, that's a good one.
Yeah. But cardinals, woodpeckers,
Flickers.
Pileated woodpeckers. I will tell you, a repeated blast from a pileated woodpecker over about 30 minutes.
Give you a headache.
Can set your teeth on edge.
Yeah,
it's just very annoying.
They're a big bird.
A big bird make a big noise.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They do.
And it seems like everywhere I hunt, that's where they are.
Yeah, well, they're an impressive bird.
Now, if you tell me that a blue jay sounded off, I'm going to pay attention. Or a crow starts to sound off, I'm paying attention. Because that could be a deer coming through the laurel or coming up out of the marsh.
Right.
Or coming, you know, I've had that happen more times than one. Pay attention to the blue jays. Or it could be a squirrel.
It's just a good time to be out in the woods, though, isn't it?
So, exactly.
Like, all this stuff going on around.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Well, you know, I'm listening to this squirrel going crazy, and I'm going, what's going on? What is with that? You know, and I didn't see what had happened prior, but the squirrels are just going crazy, and I'm going, what in the world? And I look over, and there's a Cooper's hawk eating a squirrel.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm thinking, wonder whose relative that was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty impressive.
And
so,
if you know, if you're hunting in Dorchester, you got all these nice big Delmarva foxes.
The big Delmarva fat.
Big as a cat, you know, they're
I'd like to try a couple of them in a crock pot. But
maybe someday.
Maybe someday. You never know.
But I doubt it.
No, I doubt it. So, all right, Brian. Well, look, we're coming to the end of the hour, and we just want to say thanks for being here this hour. We'll be back with more. We'll talk more about sick of deer next hour. So, folks, get out, stay out, and stay safe.